Welcome to the Torah Timecha Parshat HaShavua with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanaleah Rappaport, and this week we will be discussing Parshat Bahaloscha. There's a series of events in this week's Parsha that are all connected. The first mitzvah of Parshat Bahaloscha is the commandment to Aaron to light the menorah. The menorah has been spoken about more than once already, so the commentators ask, why are we talking about it again here? Rashi answers that in Parshat Naso last week, we have so many psukim dedicated to the Nesiim bringing their offerings to the inauguration of the Mishkan. When Aaron realizes that he is not going to be bringing this korban together with them, meaning Shevet Levi, Aaron's Shevet, did not bring these gifts, Chasha al Aaron Dato, he despairs. He gets weak because he says, how is it possible that our Shevet is going to be left out? I don't want to be left out. I want to also have a chance to bring this korban. It's not fair. The question is, who were these Nesiim who brought the offerings? Who were the leaders of the tribes? And we learned that the leaders of the tribes were actually people, Jews, who the Mitzrayim had appointed to be officers, shotrim, in Mitzrayim, and they were responsible for making sure that the Jews did their work. And when the Jews did not do enough, they did not make enough bricks, they did not do enough in one day, these officers, were supposed to be punishing the other Jews. And instead of doing that, these shotrim, they took the fall. They got hit. They got punished because they refused to hurt other Jews. And that's why they became the Nesiim. So the question is, Aaron, you're looking at these Nesiim and you're upset that you are not amongst them? You didn't do the work in Mitzrayim. You are part of a Shevet, a tribe, the tribe of Levi, did not work. So they are getting compensated now for something really hard that they went to. So how could you get upset for not being part of them? You are not part of them. You didn't go through it with them. I guess if we want to put it into our language, we're like, we don't wish to get packages that are being sent to people who have gone through terrible suffering or terrible trauma. We don't want to be part of that group. And we look at the people of that group, we're not jealous of them. We're grateful that we don't have to get that gift, that we don't have to get that package. And you would think that Hashem could say to him, Aaron, there's a reason you're not part of this, but Aaron doesn't get that answer. Hashem answers him and he says to him, I will give you the menorah, which the Ramban famously says is not just referring to the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash, but the menorah of Hanukkah, which lasts forever. So Hashem calmed him down and said, yours is better than theirs. To understand this complaint of Aaron and why Hashem responds to him with the mitzvah of menorah, we're going to go through the entire parsha, and through it we will understand. The next parsha talks about Pesach Sheni. Here again, we have an interesting situation. People are tamei meis. Pesach comes, and we're supposed to bring the korban Pesach. This is the second Pesach, by the way, since coming out of Mitzrayim. And some of the people have a certain tumah. They're impure. Why? Either because they took care of the bodies of Nadav and Avihu, or because they were carrying the bones of Yosef. And therefore, they weren't able to do Pesach on Pesach. So they ask Moshe, we don't want to miss out. We lost Pesach. We are tameh. We can't do Pesach. Can you give us another chance to do Pesach? And this is a very new and interesting request. Ma pitom, why could you say that you want to do it again? If somebody misses Shabbos because he's sick, can he do it on Tuesday? If someone misses Shofar, can he do it on Tu B'Shvat? You missed Pesach, you missed it for a legitimate reason, you missed it. Why doesn't Moshe tell them, Ha'osek b'mitzvah patom b'mitzvah? You're busy doing a mitzvah, so you're exempt from doing this mitzvah. It's a big mitzvah to carry the bones of Yosef, and so you're exempt from the mitzvah Korban Pesach. Why does he even listen to them? But he does, and he asks Hashem, and Hashem says, yes, these people who don't want to miss out, they get Pesach Sheni. They have a second chance to do Pesach, which happens in Iyar, a month later. The next parsha is the parsha of the travels. This is the way they would travel. When the cloud would go up, they would follow it, and when the cloud would go down, they would stop. And it was difficult because they never knew when they were going to stop, and they never knew when they would travel again. They had 42 different stations in the 40 years that they were there. And then the next parsha is that of the chatzotzos. These are horns that they blew when they traveled. They were used for traveling, so that's why it follows the procedures for traveling. And now that we know the procedure, they are going to go. For for the first time in almost a year, they are going to travel. And the cloud lifts and they leave Har Sinai on their way into Eretz Yisrael. They really think they're going to go in and Moshe with them. So convinced are they, in 3 days we're going to be there, that Moshe begs Yisro to stay with him. Yisro doesn't want to, for various reasons, which we're not going to go into this. Moshe tries to convince him, but it's clear from the discussion and the mood that as far as the Jews are concerned, we are going into Eretz Yisrael. Things are going to change. We're going to have the Misonanim and the Misavim, those who complain, and the Meraglim in next week's Parsha, and we're actually not going into Eretz Yisrael, not for another 38 years, but meanwhile they think they are. They leave Har Sinai, and miraculously they walk the distance of 3 days and 1 day, and here we are, ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And then we have an interesting and unparalleled Parsha. Not a Parshat HaShavua, but we call the different sections of the Torah Parshiot. And most Parshiot are separated by either a Pei, which says that they're open, Ptuchot, or a Samach, which says they are Stumot. This one is surrounded by upside-down Nun. The letter Nun, upside down. It's two psukim. It's just two verses. And it's where it should be familiar to us. Vayhi ben Sa Aaron, when the Aaron started to travel, when the cloud lifted, and now we're moving the Aron, by Yomar Moshe, Moshe would say, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oivecha, Hashem get up, scatter your enemies v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, and let your enemies run away from you. Ubnucha yomar, and when it rested, he would say, Shuva Hashem revot alfei Israel, return Hashem to the tens of thousands of the Jews. This parsha is the subject of a lot of discussion in the Gemara, which for the sake of brevity, we're not going to discuss. But the question is, we're not going to discuss upside down nuns, but we want to know why is this parsha here? It's such an interesting, again, unusual, it doesn't happen anywhere else. Why here? And the Chazal tell us it's here, the Gemara tells us it's here, to separate between two terrible things that happened. What terrible things happened? Well, we know what happens afterwards. Afterwards, we're going to have the misonanim. The misonanims are people who complain. It doesn't tell us what they were complaining about. It just says, Vayi ha'am kemitonanim ra ba'aznei Hashem, that these people were complaining bad in the ears of Hashem. And Hashem sent a fire which burned some of them, and they cried out, and Hashem heard, and he put out the fire. What were they complaining about? Perhaps the difficulty of the journey they were complaining about. The Ramban says, stam, they're kvetching. They're kvetching like people who kvetch. There's always something to complain about if we look hard enough. Sometimes we see this with our children and we say, they're just kvetchy today. There's no, absolutely no reason for them to be complaining, but they are. The Kli Yakar says that the Misonanim were the Misavim. Those are the ones who come next. They were the ones who complained because they wanted meat. And they wanted meat to eat, and that's perhaps the Mitzonanim and the Mitzavim were the same people. But it's not the way that it's written in the Pasuk. In the Pasuk it says, V'ha'asafsuf asher b'kirbo hit'avu ta'ava. The people, the asafsuf is like the fringes of this group. That means the lower people who were together with the Jews. Hit'avu ta'ava. They desired a desire. Meaning that with the Mitzavim, it doesn't say that they wanted meat. It says that they wanted what? A ta'ava. They desired a desire. It should have said they desired meat. And then it gets even harder to understand. Ve'yashuvu v'yipku, and they sat and they cried, Gam b'nei Yisrael. The whole b'nei Yisrael v'yomru, mi yochilenu basar. Who's going to give us meat? We want meat. They cried? Like literally cried because they didn't have meat? How are we meant to understand this about the Dor Dea? When do grown men cry? And Rashi said they actually had meat. They had to bring a carbon shlamim in order to eat it, but they certainly had meat if they wanted it. Tons and tons of meat. So what was their problem? Rashi continues to say that Hashem says to Moshe, whatever you give them is not going to be enough. It will not work. If you give them fat meat, they'll want lean meat. If you give them from a deer, they'll want from a goat. Whatever you give them won't work because they don't want meat. Hitavu ta'ava means they are looking for a desire. They are looking for a problem. They aren't looking for meat. Hashem says to them, you want meat? I'll give you meat. Not 1 day, not 2 days, not 5 days, and not 20 or a month. You're going to have so much meat that it will be coming out of your nose. The birds, the slav that came down was not a skinny, tiny little bird. The slav was a huge bird. The Balaturim says that if a slav landed on someone's head, it would kill him. The Gemara says that to cook one of these birds, they had to take out its insides, put it into an oven. The whole oven would become full, and they would need 13 loaves of bread to absorb the oil of one bird. What is going on here? What are all these parshios, and how are they connected? Rav Baruch Rosenblum gives a beautiful explanation to tie this all together. What he says is, let's go back to one of our questions. I know I've asked a lot. We said that the pasuk, the psukim, with the upside down nuns, came to separate between two terrible things that happened. We know what the second terrible thing is, the one that happens after the psukim, is that they start to complain, and then they want the meat, and everything gets delayed. That we know about. What was the first terrible thing that happened? Because we just spoke about the travelings and the horns, and that they traveled from Har Sinai. So what was the paranos? What was the bad thing that happened? And the bad thing is that they traveled from Har Sinai, that they left Har Sinai. Why is this bad? What's the problem here? The Ramban says, "Shenasu b'simcha me'Har Sinai." They traveled happily from Har Sinai. This parsha always comes out at the end of the school year. Ketino kaborech mi'Beit HaSefer. Do you ever hear kids counting down the days until school is over? Do you ever hear the teachers counting down the days till school is over? Everyone's waiting for school to be over, like a child who is running from school. Amru, they said, "Shema yarbet v'yitein lanu mitzvos." We don't want to stay here anymore because every day that we're here, we get more mitzvos. It's good that we're going. And even though we just spoke about how they traveled when the cloud came. So they didn't have a choice to travel. The cloud lifted after nearly a year, and they went happily to Eretz Yisrael quickly because they wanted to go in. Did they have a choice? And the answer is found in Parshas Beshalach. When they were leaving Yamsuf, the word is Vayasa Moshe Es Yisrael MeYamsuf, that Moshe forced the Jews to travel from Yamsuf. He had to move them. He had to say, come on, let's go. Because they were collecting jewels, they were collecting money. We can collect more. This is a bank machine spinning our cash. Why do we have to go? Let's stay a little bit longer. They had tons and tons of money, but here's more money. And he had to push them out. But here it doesn't say Vayasa. Here by Har Sinai, it doesn't say that he pushed them to go. Here it says Vayis'u, quickly and happily. So let's pull this together. Hashem created every man with something called tshuka. Tshuka is desire. And there's all kinds of things that a person desires. Sometimes we desire food, sometimes we desire water, sometimes we desire money. We desire relationships, we desire a kirvas Hashem. We need ta'ava, that's how we are created. If we didn't have an appetite, who would have time to stop to eat? There's a taiva for money, and it says, Ohev kesef lo yispa kesef. If you love money, you will not have enough money. You will never be satisfied with the money you have. And Chazal say, Yesh lo mana rotza matayim. If you have 100, you're going to want 200. We always want more. The more we have, the more we want, and we are never satisfied. But it doesn't have to be about money. This could also be about anything we desire. That means that this tshuka, this desire that we have, comes from the same place. The same desire that a person has for money, it can be filled with mitzvot. Actually, this pasuk is said about Moshe Rabbeinu. He had so many mitzvot, and yet he wanted more mitzvot. It's all tshuka. And when a person is filled with passion for mitzvot, there is no end to what he can do. Let's go back to the men crying for meat. When a grown man cries, he's not crying because he wants a steak. No one cries for a steak. When a grown man is crying because he doesn't have meat, there is something missing in his neshama. It's his neshama crying out. They didn't know what they were crying for. They cried for meat because that's what the asafsuf, the fringes, told them to cry for. But they didn't want meat. What were they really crying about? We know why they were crying. They were crying because of the thing that happened before the psukim, the first tragedy, because they left Har Sinai, and they left it feeling like, enough with the mitzvahs, we're moving on. And because they had that attitude, their neshamas were empty. How much emptiness did they have? They tried desperately to fill it, because when a neshama is empty, it's like a vacuum, and it can't be filled, because they were trying to fill it with birds, tons and tons of birds, but birds couldn't fill the neshama, because what they were missing was, I'm by Har Sinai. I'm getting the mitzvahs. I'm learning the Torah. A person's neshama cannot be satiated with materialism, with gashmias. Ohev kesef lo yispa kesef. No matter how much money you have, you never have enough. Because that's not what we're missing. So he will search and search. We all have taiva, tremendous taiva, tremendous desire. Look at what we can do with this taiva if we direct it in the right place. Aaron HaKohen, Chalsha Alav Da'ato, how can it be that I don't get to do this mitzvah? How can it be all the other Nesim are bringing their presence to the Mishkan? I want to do it too. I want to do it more. So he wasn't an officer. He wasn't a Shoter Mitzrayim, but I want to do this mitzvah. And the Tmei Meis, those who were Tamei because they were carrying the bones, sure, we are pater from the mitzvah, and you could tell them you are exempt from doing this mitzvah. We didn't have to do it. But Ohev Lo Yispa, if you love the mitzvahs, you're not going to be satisfied with that answer. We want to do it anyways. They said, Lama Nigara, why should we miss out? It's not fair. We want to do it too. When we come to a mitzvah, when we come to an opportunity to do a mitzvah, if we have this attitude of, I've already done mitzvahs today, but I can do more. I've already given tzedakah, but look, I have an opportunity to do more. It's not an obligation. I want to do it. It's a pleasure to do it. This is what I want to do. Then ohev kesef lo yispa kesef, a person who loves money will never have enough money. But from this parsha and from this smichut in the parsha, the way that all the different parts are connected, we learn an underlying or an overriding theme of this parsha is, what should we desire? We should desire to do good. We should desire to be close to Hashem. It is because they left Har Sinai with enthusiasm. Let's get out of here. We don't want to have any more mitzvahs. That their neshamas were empty afterwards. And they were missing. And they were missing. They didn't know what they were missing. But they were complaining. They were complaining because they were complaining. Because they just had to complain. Because something was missing inside. And with reflecting on it, what we could see was missing is their connection and their relationship with Hashem. And therefore, they cried for this and they cried for that and they cried for Matan. And next week they're going to cry because of the spies. But it all stems from we want that kirvat Hashem. We want to do good and we want to be connected to Hashem. And this we learned from the first part of the parsha, Aaron, who so badly wanted to be part of the other Nesiim who were bringing their gifts to the Mishkan, and those who were carrying, who were responsible for carrying it to the bones of Yosef, or Nadav and Avihu, who said, yes, it's true, you could say I don't have to keep Pesach, but I want to keep Pesach. This is what I want to do, not because I have to do it. It's a schut to do it. It's because I want and I'm aspiring and I'm hoping that I get to do the mitzvot.